sophisticated, in the field of defense, to go for a doctrine of superiority in American armament, strategic armament. We'll bankrupt ourselves, and the Soviet Union will bankrupt itself if we try for that, and it's bound to represent even more dangerous confrontations. I believe we need, certainly we need equivalency. And certainly, as I say, we goofed off in this matter. By the way, those are my words used in the course of assault to here. But that we do need nuclear weapon limitation if it can be gotten through mutual concessions. There's no question about that. So these, to me, are issues far above and beyond my own election. And I differ very strongly with Mr. DeMauro.
Is there something beside issues, something involving more character nature?
Well, DeMauro, I will say, waged, in my judgment, a pretty low-level campaign in the primary, and my strictures on that were directed to the fact that that's not the way you can get along and get things done in the Senate. And my colleagues have, on occasions, voted me as a very effective senator. And I can assure the people of New York that that's not a way to be effective.
Well, what upstate, generally, we look at Nassau Republican County, Republican politics in Nassau County with some, well, you know, the way they play politics down there is somewhat different.
With a jaundiced eye.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, and he's firmly rooted in that. Does that say something about his integrity, or is it simply because it's the way it's done, it's okay?
There is an odor around the whole thing of political corruption. An odor.
I haven't got
the proof.
Would that be harmful in the Senate?
I think it'd be very harmful. But as I say to you, I don't have the proof. No. That's why I wasn't the one to, you know, accuse him again. Mm-hmm. I said it's something between the prosecutors and DeMauro and you know, and his group. Nothing I can, you know.
In any case, a matter of judgment.
That's right. My denouncing him again isn't going to help it, and on the contrary, distracts from the campaign.
But I mean, he couldn't find a better insurance advisor than his father.
Well,
what's one to think of that?
Well, and yet, you saw him on the tube yesterday in New York. He sat there with a poker face and did it all over again. Now, listen, they elected him in the primary, so. Maybe he's right and I'm wrong. Anyhow, if he's right and I'm wrong, it's okay for me to retire and be a rich lawyer.
Senator, I thought that last summer, or maybe as late as September, that you endorsed the Camp Rock bill with other leading Republicans in Washington. Have you now changed that position?
I never endorsed it. I separated myself from it always. I was chairman of that task force, but always separated myself from Temple. My colleagues wanted it. Listen, the chairman doesn't always have his way, but I'm not for it. And it's been uniform and clear and, you know, precise on every occasion. And if you want the book and page on that, we're more than happily producing it.
Is there a form of Camp Rock that you were for?
No. I believe that the Reagan made a pretty fair offer or proposal in the 10%, but I do not believe in the 10% as a, quote, first installment, which is, you know, what a lot of people tried to interpret it as being, and even Reagan himself. Latched on to the 30% as soon as he could. But the proposal he made to us, and which we incorporated in our vote, was 10%. I was ready to go for that and said so and supported. Because I tell you why I did. 10% was just about equal to two things which I thought were, if anything, had the legitimacy. One was the increase in Social Security taxes, which is $9 billion. And the other is what's called the bracket creep, which means that you get more dollars, get into higher brackets, even though you don't get more substantively. And that's about $13 billion. And that's about the equal to a 10% tax cut. So I was willing to go for that. Though I'll tell you honestly, if I had my druthers, I'd go for a business tax cut as the only way to really get value to the American people based upon what business does to modernize.
Well, you're on Cutter's side in that whole issue.
No, he's against both. He's against any tax cut. Then, of course, he's come over since.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Currently, he is for business tax cuts.
Yeah, that's right, and I think that's right.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that I designed it his way. I'm for accelerated depreciation, and I think way he does it is not as good as the way we would do it.
Strikes me that Republicans are losing a balanced budget as a focus. You think that's a good idea, a bad idea?
I think it's a bad idea. I think we ought to keep a focus for a balanced budget, which could be achieved both I think a rather hard look at a lot of these programs is justified. They've been in operation for a long time. And we should review them. I wish the public, that is the client public, had more confidence in the fact that if we set a hard look, we met it, and that we would not just cut for the sake of cutting. The trouble is that votes laid side by side with these declarations of the policy on which we would vote have not always matched. In other words, there have been votes cast which were pretty cruel, justified by the fact that it's the result of a hard look. And I think it's hurt the party. We ought to win this election 60-40. If we don't win this election, it shows that we have been wrong somewhere. The people want us to win. This country wants definitely try a new team, if we only let them.
You mean Reagan ought to win by 60?
Yes, absolutely.
Senate too?
Be good for the, I don't know about that. That's tough. Strangely enough, though, the Congress is in very low a state in the polls. When you get into individual races, people think pretty highly of their own congressman, their own senator, and have a strange dichotomy about the fact that they rate the Congress very low, but their guy, he's okay.
Can you raise enough money to wage an effective campaign?
Well, I had great doubts about that. And I've only been at it now for, roughly 10 days ago. And we did raise enough money for a creditable media campaign which took us through last week and into this week, which encouraged me. And I think it can be done. I've got a lot of people rallying around, and it can be done.
What can be done?
Raise the money for a creditable.
How much have you raised so far?
I couldn't tell you the exact figure until today, but we paid about $100,000 for the media in the last week. We raised it, which is, I think, a good beginning.
But isn't that a rather small amount compared to the million or so that the other opponents are,
well,
your opponents are spending?
I don't know, with 3 weeks left in the campaign. I figured a million. I think we can do it with 800,000-900,000. We had 100,000 in the bank. We raised 100,000. And I think we can do it. Please remember, we just got started. These things are cumulative.
But there are only 3 weeks left in the campaign.
As I say, they are
big lead on you at this point, as well as major party endorsement.
Well, the only one that has a big lead is D'Amato, because he got the money I helped raise. See, I worked hard for the Republican Senate Campaign Committee, and he hasn't got it all, but he's got, several hundred thousand dollars. But I think that with the start of 200, 250, which we have, I think we can wage credibly.
What's your reaction to the various polls that have come out showing Holston with a big lead, the D'Amato close?
Well,
I'm
just as close as D'Amato from the polls, that poll which you cited, because on Sunday she seemed to have lost her big lead, at least for the Daily News. I'm told by, my own people that the public needed to be convinced that I was serious about continuing in the race. And I announced that a week ago today. And we feel that it has not been as yet adequately reflected in the poll. Nonetheless, for a candidate who was running on a third-party ticket and who was defeated in the primary, I think I'm looking pretty good in terms of the standing of the teams.
You still fear that you will badly split the Republican vote and hand the election to Holston?
No, I don't think so. I think if anything, the argument is on the other side. But, her proponents claim that I'll split the vote of moderate liberal people. I don't think, right now as I see it, on these figures, I think it's too early to judge either way what the effect of my own candidacy will have, if any. And I don't know that you can run politics that way. Right now I feel that if you feel that you've got something to offer, then you've got to run.
Is any of the Republican Party apparatus helping you?
As apparatus, no.
No.
As individuals, yes. I think I still have at least what I had in the primary, which was 44% of the statewide vote. Mm-hmm. And many may have second thoughts. I can't speculate.
I always wondered why you've been talking about productivity for years now.
Oh, yeah, it's many years.
And it never seemed to catch on.
That's right.
Now it is.
That's right.
Is there some reason for that?
Yes, I think we're...
Beside your own lack of persuasiveness?
Well, that's, I don't like to say that. Well, I wouldn't say it's a lack of persuasiveness.
No.
After all, it has caught on.
Yeah.
Big. Yeah. Everybody's talking about it.
A little late.
Yeah, a little late, but it's caught on. So if anything, I would say I'm very persuasive.
Right.
When you realize the size of the wheel you're trying to push.
What turned you on to that? How long ago was it? Picked that up as a
picked it up in about 74-5.
What signs did you see?
What signs? I saw the facts and the figures and saw that we were being skinned alive in the competition.
You just saw the declining GNC growth?
Right. And saw our export picture as being a very poor one. you know, it's an interesting thing, but what may, if my seat is to go this time, what may have cost me the seat is vision. It's a very interesting proposition. Not that I would do it over again, because I couldn't. I wouldn't do it over again because I couldn't. I couldn't do anything. I mean, you know, the very reasons, if it be a political weakness, the very reasons for that weakness was my strength. So I can't be sorry or regretful. But it is a fact that people had enough segregation. That's pretty small stuff compared to the fact that Deng Xiaoping came to the Capitol and was met by Senator Church, the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, and its ranking member, me. You know, that outshines the news from Western Rondecoit very material. And that's duplicated 150 times through this state. So even when I delivered for the state, and I certainly did, I never got the credit for it. People either it wasn't printed or they didn't pay any attention to it.
What future do you see for the salt trade?
I don't agree with Reagan about scrapping it. I think we ought to say to the Russians that cannot be ratified as it stands, and it can't. And therefore, it needs to be renegotiated. There are things in it that need to be negotiated again, and that therefore we would like to undertake a negotiation to deal with amendments to the SALT II treaty. That might result in another treaty, or it might result in truly amendments to this one. But I believe the shape of the world is such that at one and the same time that we hit the Russians over the head with a 2x4 over their mischievous policy in Afghanistan and the Middle East and Cuba or whatever it is, we have to negotiate to reduce the threat of the strategic nuclear arm. This is such an awful weapon that we cannot afford, and it's so expensive that we cannot afford to do anything else but have under negotiation efforts of limitation. And any cap is better than no cap. But it's fair, that it's mutually fair based upon the nature of their armament and the nature of ours.
I have to ask what you do disagree, what you do agree with Reagan on.
I agree with Reagan on the business planks, which I think are very good. I agree with the Middle East plank, which I think is very good. And I agree with the tax cut to the extent, you know, extent that he forfeited it in its final version. I agree with regulatory reform. Matter of fact, we reported a regulatory reform bill out of the Governmental Affairs Committee, which I'm senior member. And I believe also in the deregulation of the trucks and the airlines and coming up the railroads. So, you know, we have some broad areas of agreement.
Well, those sound like broad areas of agreement also with Carter.
Well, you know, it's the motto made a big thing of my having voted with the president, quote unquote, 82% of the time. Okay?
You're obviously not patriotic.
Yeah. Well, I have never been a senator. I voted against a president that I've served with. Every president since Truman, including Truman, because he was a Democrat and I was a Republican. I called them as I saw them. And the interesting thing about this 82% is that half of those votes, that is 41%, were the votes to confirm ambassadors and other public officials subject to approval by the Foreign Relations Committee. And I can assure you that nothing got out of the Foreign Relations Committee that I don't agree with. So, but I had no fear of that with the people that I represented. And I don't believe it was an operative cause in my primary defeat, which I think was attributable to what the voters said, that is, that they had engendered in them doubts as to my health and age. And no amount of seeing and hearing equaled, apparently, for those voters, believing.
What do you think the voters think about those two issues today?
Age and health?
Yes.
I don't think they're going to defeat me on that ground. Whatever other ground they make sure. I think that by now, I think that they've seen me enough, heard me enough to feel that those are not decisive issues.
How do you plan to deal with the health problem if it gets to a point? How will you decide if you are unable to continue? Do you have some arrangement for somebody to tell you the time has come to?
I don't see in that regard that I'm different from any other human being.
I know, and that's very touchy area.
Who are you to advise what to tell you whether you're able to?
I know. Well, I mean, but it's a problem. How do you plan to deal with it?
I plan to do it the same way you would. I have doctors. I know how I feel. I know whether I want to get up in the morning, go to work. I know whether I'm thinking or not thinking. And it doesn't seem to me to be a problem at all. It really doesn't. Because
do you think if they told you the time has come, you would resign?
If who told me?
The doctors?
I'd have the feeling.
I'd
have the feeling.
Yeah.
That's the test we have for a president of the United States.
Yeah.
And the inability to carry on your duties. President's in the same position I am.
Mm-hmm.
If he feels it, then that's his duty, is to quit. If he doesn't feel it, then he has no business to. And I feel the same. Yeah, I have no doubt about what I would do if I felt unable to carry on my duties in the way in which I have for so many years. And the doctors, of course, my physical situation has certainly been probably the most widely advertised and thoroughly discussed of the situation of any public person.
It's a president's
private
scar.
Person.
It's a president's belly scar.
That's it's absolutely right. Including learned doctor reporters for the New York Times.
You talk about raising $800,000 to $900,000 to finance a credible campaign. Is that to be interpreted as a campaign that would result in a victory?
One doesn't know. All you know is that you have to relatively hold your own in the use of the media. I can't tell whether it's successful or not. But I think you have to have a certain minimum media exposure to keep your name and, you know, your face, if I think you're vigorous, able to carry on before the public. And it's I have borrowed $50,000, and within the limits of my resources, which are public and are published every year. That's more than enough from my point of view. I have no matter of fact, all my family depends upon a family trust, which obviously I cannot draw on for political purposes. So it's just a question of my personal credit for the future. And I hope very much not to have to borrow anymore. I have a
isn't that for younger people who have not served their time yet? And why is it that you don't withdraw?
I have something to offer, which is more than what younger people have to offer, especially in a time of such crisis as this one, having been endowed by the people of this state with a quarter of a century of seniority and of experience and of relationships which are so urgently needed now, especially when New York is no longer the half state that it was and now needs so much from the federal establishment. It seems to me that this is an invaluable asset and the very wrongest time to give it up.
You may be right, but apparently there aren't people who are willing to accept that position.
We don't know that. Well, so far, we've only had the votes of roughly 500,000 Republicans out of 2,300,000, and 500,000 Republicans out of about 6.5 million minimum voters. So how can we tell them? The polls may tell us something, but no one has ever claimed that they're holy writ. So I can't join you.
Senator, do you see the war in Iraq and Iran, between Iraq and Iran, widening considerably, or in view of the fact that that Libya and Syria are taking one side, and Jordan is now siding with Iraq, and who knows what Sadat will do or whoever? What do you see happening there?
I don't. I see. Right now, I think Gaddafi is fulminating. He fulminates in everything. Mm-hmm. And he's got a big slush fund to fulminate with. Hussein, I think, is being extremely cautious.
Which one?
Hussein is Jordan. He's caught in a nutcracker between Syria and Iraq. And you will remember that in 70, he could have been crushed.
Yeah.
If the Israelis hadn't bailed them out, they told the Iraqis that if they invaded Jordan, Israel would move on Iraq. And I don't think the Iraqis were hot for that. I can understand Hussein, though I think he's very ill-advised, but I can understand him. So I don't believe this is going to spread to other countries. I think everybody is pretty jittery. But I believe that it could, with the chaos in Iran and the fact that it has a huge population compared to Iraq, about 2.5 times Iraq's population or more, 3 times, it could boil down to an attrition. War of attrition and to go on for some time, especially with the relative impenetrability of Iran to outside influences and the fanaticism which will accept, you know, damage and casualties and as if it were holy, consecrated. So I believe that the likelihood is of an extended state of conflict. However, my instinct says that it won't be an extended state of conflict. It could be. It has all those indicators. But my instinct is that it's too dangerous a struggle to continue, and that we and the Russians will find a way to terminate it. That's my judgment.
Do you think
that's instinct, only instinct.
Do you think that if Saddam Hussein backs down, that he'll lose power?
I don't think anybody's going to back down. I think everybody will find a face-saving way to get out of it if we and the Russians really set our minds to it. But it's got to be both of us, not they alone or we alone. And it's just too dangerous a conflict, considering the incendiary nature of the parties, to allow it to continue. But on the form, it should smolder for a time. That's my judgment. Well, ladies
Senator,
and gentlemen,
we thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you for coming in.
You're very generous.
I made a special trip this time. It's a fact.
That was very nice of you.
Well, I'm very interested in it. I like this city very much. I've done some interesting things with the city. For example, I took a shine to the laser experiments at the University of Rochester and went to a lot of personal trouble and used some credit cards to get them some millions of dollars here the last few months.